When Dr. Steckel and I were asked to discuss the value of transgenics focusing on weed management, very quickly we realized that we needed to provide you with a belt-wide perspective. And we were fortunate through Dr. Steckel's persistence with these individuals to get a lot of feedback and a lot of input and information that I'm going to share with you today. I do want to point out, mostly weed scientists, a few agronomists, but they represent about 96% of the acreage that was planted in 2009. So in the survey results I show you today, I think it is a belt-wide perspective. From those states that responded to through our survey, this gives you an example, the adoption of herbicide-resistant cotton anywhere from 91.5% up to 100%. Across the entire cotton belt, the USDA estimates a little better than 94% of the cotton is planted to herbicide resistance traits. So is there value in herbicide resistance traits? Absolutely, there is value. Is that value changing? Yes, that value is changing in a lot of areas. A lot of the change in value is directly related to herbicide resistant weeds. Now, many of us across the belt have numerous weed species that are resistant to various herbicides in our state. However, all of these resistant weeds do not impact cotton production. For example, if you look at North Carolina, one of their weeds is holon-resistant ryegrass that impacts wheat but does not impact the cotton grower. If you focus more closely on the cotton grower, you really see seven weed species that are now being impacted by herbicide resistance and is also impacting the value of these herbicide-resistant traits. From Palmer amaranth, Warner hemp, horseweed, Johnson grass, ryegrass, as well as both common and giant ragweed. Now, these weeds resistant to glyphosate by our participants in our survey were noted as the most problematic, although ALS resistance also complicates our management programs. Now, in this slide, what I'm showing you is I'm, again, showing you the states that participate in the survey, and the large number is the number of acres, approximate number of acres planted in 2009. In parentheses is the amount of those cotton acres that is infested with a herbicide-resistant weed, at least one of those weeds that I previously mentioned. If you look at Texas or New Mexico, 0 to 2%, very little infestation at this time with herbicide resistance. If you look at the Mid-South or the Southeast, you can see some states, such as Tennessee, where you have 100% of the fields have at least one of those resistant weeds. If you look at the 8.1 million acres of cotton represented in this survey, about 27% of those acres have a herbicide-resistant weed on that. Keep in mind, Texas has little infestation currently, and they obviously swing a big stick when it comes to cotton production. But if you look in the Southeast and the Mid-South, we are in a very serious issue with at least 68% of our cotton acres infested with at least one of those resistant weeds. Now, of those resistant weeds that I pointed out to you, clearly the survey showed very aggressively that all weeds are not created equal. And in fact, the value of the transgenic traits is highly correlated with glyphosate-resistant palm amaranth, as well as glyphosate and ALS-resistant palm amaranth with multiple resistance. If you look at where palm amaranth is, which you need to understand before I show you the survey results, you'll see 120 counties in eight states. But all of these states and all these counties are not severely infested. So what I had to do to show you the results of the survey, I simply had to break it into two categories. One with little to no infestation, including Alabama, Louisiana, Mississippi, New Mexico, and Texas, a little over 5.7 million acres represented. Significant infestations of glyphosate-resistant palm amaranth include Arkansas, Georgia, North Carolina, South Carolina, Tennessee, with about 2.36 million acres represented. And this is the key to the results I'm showing you today. You'll have the category where you have little impact because you have little infestation, and then the area that's severely infested in some areas with glyphosate-resistant palm amaranth. Now, the first question we asked our survey participants was focusing on those areas that do not have a significant problem with glyphosate resistance, and that's basically, has the value changed in Roundup-ready technology? And the answer to that was absolutely the value has changed on 80% of our acreage, and on that 80% of the acreage, there was an increase in about $9 in value. The reason for that increase in value, wider winter, especially for the flex technology, that over-the-top window, improved germplasm, i.e. increased yields, and in general, just improved weed control. Now, in these areas with minimal impact from herbicide resistance, they did note 2% of their acres was starting to decrease in value, and again, they related this to those areas where herbicide-resistant weeds were starting to become a problem. Now, in areas where glyphosate-resistant palm amaranth is a severe issue. We have essentially the exact opposite result. We have no increase in value, and what we have is on 45% of that 2.34 million acres, we have decreased value at an average of $19.50 per acre. That value was determined based on additional input cost in controlling glyphosate-resistant palm amaranth. We have to use many more herbicides. We're having to cultivate. We're having to hand weed. We're having to do a lot of things that we have not done in the past. To give you an example, if you're not familiar with glyphosate-resistant palm amaranth, how quickly things can change, this is a perfect example. In 2006, 3 applications of glyphosate. By 2009, you can't even tell you have a cotton crop. So it comes in rapidly, and it's a significant challenge. Even in areas where we say triple our input herbicide-wise, especially on dry land production, and I can't say that enough, in areas where we can activate the residual herbicides, we are doing much better than in areas where it's dry land production. Here's an example of a very expensive herbicide program, and obviously we do not have the level of control that any grower would want. Hand weeding and cultivating have become part of our management program in many areas where we have severe infestations, especially again on dry land. And to help you understand the changes that have occurred, I'm going to show you one slide from a recent survey conducted in Georgia in our severely infested areas that included 5 counties. If you look, before we had resistance in the red bar in 2004, we didn't incorporate herbicides, we didn't use Ignite, we didn't cultivate, and we didn't hand weed. By 2008, believe it or not, we actually even incorporated some herbicides. Cultivating a fair amount, we're hand weeding a whole lot. And we're even adopted Ignite-based programs in these severely infested areas. So what is the value, or has the value changed on the Ignite-based programs? If we go back to those acres where we don't have a lot of glyphosate-resistant pest problems currently right now, though, there was an increase in value of $5 on 8% of that acres, predominantly to improve morning glory control, but also to work on those small spots where resistance was beginning. In the areas that are facing significant problems with glyphosate-resistant palm amaranth, 53% of the acres have increased value, and they have an increased value essentially of the $19.50. Why? Well, Ignite provides a better option of control for glyphosate-resistant and glyphosate plus ALS-resistant palm amaranth. It also is effective on other problematic weeds such as glyphosate-resistant horseweed or common ragweed, as well as it can reduce our cultivating and hand weeding costs, which have become extremely large. To give you an example, here's an example of where you have multiple resistance. You have a 4X rate of glyphosate, a 4X rate of staple, and there is cotton present. It's hard to see. It is a challenge to control with the current technologies we have, especially with topical herbicide options. In dry land, conservation tillage acres are most challenging control tactics. You can see the Ignite-based programs often do provide better control than the Roundup options in controlling glyphosate-resistant palm amaranth. Similarly, with some of Dr. Steckel's work with giant ragweed, Ignite provides a good alternative to control a glyphosate-resistant pest. Now, there's been a lot of discussion about flex technology, and we wanted to ask our participants in our survey, what do you think about the flex technology? Where you don't have herbicide resistance, 10 of 10 states responded, there's absolutely an increase in value. The increase in value is $8 to $20, basically because it's easier. But each of these scientists and participants in our survey wanted to make sure you're very aware. Even though there is increased value there, we absolutely agree, it will also promote the use of more dependence on glyphosate and ALS. Why is that? If you're going after broadleaf weeds and you're in Roundup Ready cotton, you're going over top, you're using glyphosate or you're using ALS herbicide chemistry, and we already have resistance issues. So even though there is increased value, you have to be careful and you have to protect what you have. With the known rapid rate of spread through traditional means, whether it's your cotton picker, whether it's your bush hog, or whether it's through a flood or gin trash, we know this pest is spreading rapidly, so if you're going to rely on glyphosate or glyphosate and ALS type chemistry, it's going to be a challenge, especially when you add in what we now know about the movement of this resistant pest through pollen. No matter how good you are, it's very likely you'll be dealing with this pest in the near future. And responding to the value of Flex technology, if you have herbicide-resistant, basically glyphosate-resistant palm amaranth, 8 of 9 states responded back that there was no increased value. We're paying for technology really with no benefits because we recommend the exact same programs with directed lay-by residual hot herbicides. Now, some may argue, but yes, you have a wider window of application early in the season. There's advantage there. And there is advantage there, especially if you get caught in a bad environment with a rainfall, etc. But programs that allow more flexibility in controlling glyphosate-resistant palm amaranth, in many of our opinions, are more apt to fail. And here's a perfect example. This is a very intense herbicide program with pre-emergence, early post, and lay-by treatments. The only difference you're looking at is the Wellamax plus Dual Magnum went out at 18 days before palm amaranth was up and was activated by rainfall. Where at 24 days, the palm amaranth was 1/4 inch in height, it was resistant to glyphosate, and you lost your crop. So many of us would argue that a wider window of application may not be of benefit, and actually a closed-up window may be more beneficial when fighting this resistant pest. So another big question that we wanted to know is, obviously, will growers continue to use glyphosate-resistant cotton technology? Without resistance, I think everyone would agree, absolutely. Areas with glyphosate-resistant palm amaranth, it was a little more mixed. There's still a lot of value there, especially because of the germplasm of the Roundup Ready, many of the Roundup Ready technology cultivars, but clearly there was a suggested movement toward Ignite-based programs. Another question that we really wanted to know, and we've had a lot of questions, is in the perfect world where we could have a conventional cultivar where yield and quality were equal to the best transgenic there was, you weed scientists, how many acres would we plant? Now keep in mind, today, or in 2009, a little over 400,000 acres of conventional cotton were planted, mostly in Texas. But our weed scientists predicted that there'd be an increase to over 1.5 million acres of conventional cotton. Now, one of our weed scientists pointed out a flaw in this question. They said, you asked what would happen, what would they do in the first year? What about the second year? They said that's the critical one, because after everyone realizes how complicated it would be managing conventional cotton, many of these acres would go back to transgenic cotton. But there is at least some interest in conventional cotton, assuming you had equal yield and quality. Now, we talked about transgenic weed control technologies of today being the Liberty Link or Roundup Ready technologies. What about the future? Both 2,4-D and dicamba-resistant technologies are hopefully coming in 2014 or 2015, and we really wanted to get a feel from our weed scientists what they thought. When you ask, will there be value in this technology, absolutely 10 out of 10 states said for weed management, there would be a tremendous amount of value controlling these problematic weeds. Think about not having to have pre-plant intervals, new modes of herbicide action. These products are very economical, so it's very, very exciting with the potential of what they have to bring for us. Here's just an example of on your left is an Ignite application. You have to be timely if you're going to control palm amaranth with Ignite. This is an example when you're not timely. Palm amaranth was 6 to 8 inches tall. You added a little bit of 2,4-D, or you add a little bit of dicamba in with that program, you greatly improve control. So improving weed management with the new technology is exciting. It's a long ways away. But also, we wanted to ask our weed scientists, are you comfortable making 2,4-D or dicamba recommendations today? I want to emphasize that. That's today. We got 4 to 5 years to work on this technology. And I'll let you respond, see the responses from each state. Basically, most of us are very, very uncomfortable with this technology as far as working with 2,4-D and dicamba. Now, why? Obviously, physical drift is a great concern for us. 10 of 10 states mentioned this, especially in areas around high-value crops. When you're looking at an acre of about $20,000 invested in that crop, that is a concern for us. Tank contamination, significant issue. Volatility. One interesting comment is it doesn't provide complete pigweed control. Hopefully, you're not in the mentality of 2,4-D and dicamba come, there'll never be a pigweed problem. That is not the case. They will not even control pigweeds bigger than, say, six inches or so. Now, in a system where you use residuals and you're aggressive, it is a wonderful tactic. It improves control greatly, but it's not going to be an answer to just go out and spray a bunch of 2,4-D or spray a bunch of dicamba, because it's not going to work. Now, I mentioned palm amaranth is a game changer. There's no doubt Dr. York says that all the time. And I want to walk you through one example. Since Palma amaranth dominated this survey and is dominating much of the press, I wanted to walk you through, for those of you who have resistance, what you've dealt with, and those of you who don't have resistance but likely will have resistance in the future, this is what your concern is. Here's an example. We got a one-acre field on the left-hand side. We have 5 Palma amaranth females escape. They were resistant to glyphosate. We sprayed only glyphosate. 5 plants survived. Conservatively, those 5 female plants produced 400,000 seed. That's conservative. So that gives us 2 million seeds produced that year. Again, very conservatively, let's say 50% of those germinate going into year 2. I give you a weed control program at 99.9% control. That leaves us 1,000 plants per acre left at harvest. Palma amaranth, you have male and you have female plants. So you're going to have 400 female plants left. Now, 400 female plants produce 400,000 seed per plant. Now you're at 160 million seed per plant. Again, let's assume conservatively 50% germination. Give you 99.9% control in year 3. Now we're at 80,000 plants per acre left, 32,000 plants at female, and my calculator explodes. You have 2 years before this weed will take you down. You have to be extremely aggressive. If you're going to win the battle, it starts with the seed bank. Now, in conclusion, the value of current transgenic traits, where you don't have a glyphosate-resistant Palma amaranth issue, the value of Roundup Ready technology increased, according to our specialist, $9 per acre on 4.6 million acres. For Ignite-based programs, $5 on 0.46 million acres. Where you have a significant infestation of glyphosate-resistant Palma amaranth, the value of that Roundup Ready technology has decreased $19.5 per acre on 1.1 million acres. And for Ignite-based programs, that has increased $19.5 on 1.2 million acres. Now, many of our growers continue to want to grow Roundup Ready cotton, even in areas with glyphosate-resistant Palma amaranth, because of yield potential. We have to improve the value of that technology, and there are ways that we can do that. One is taking advantage of the Performance Plus program. Use of residual herbicides is absolutely critical. But also, you have to be open-minded that we are not going to control this pest alone with herbicides in many areas. We will have to become integrated. We will have to use other management tactics. And I would encourage you to come to the Weed Science section tomorrow afternoon and Thursday, where we will address those issues.